Do you ever feel like you're viewing the world through a completely different lens than others? Even someone you feel close to in many ways, when it comes to one or two particular topics, you completely disconnect. How could this person feel that way? It makes no sense. Particularly in the social and political divide we're currently facing in this country, we often find ourselves at odds with others, and it can be uncomfortable and challenging. Today at Peace On, we're going to explore a concept called LANS, a tool from Relationship Systems Intelligence, as defined by CRR Global at crrglobal.com. Fundamentally, we begin with a core belief that diversity is useful. The greater the differences, the greater the possibilities for learning and creating something new together. From there, we move on to deep democracy, which means that all perspectives on a situation have a piece of the truth. Beyond the physical facts of things, there is very little objective truth, only my personal experiences and beliefs. Everyone's experience is equally valid from their perspective based on their internal geography. There is no single truth. The concept of internal geography is key. We all live in different worlds determined by our cultural backgrounds, education, personal experience, and beliefs. Each world has traditions, customs, beliefs, and values. We all tend to believe our beliefs and values are the correct ones. To do the work in LANS today, we will stand in three meta skills: respect, inquiry and awareness, and of course, deep democracy. A meta skill is a stance, an attitude, a philosophy, an intentionally generated emotional space. By standing in an attitude of deep respect and curiosity, we can visit another world, another culture, and appreciate it. Let's talk about LANS a bit. The internal experience of my land is unique to each individual. Each country, if you will, is filled with personal biases and prejudices, the personal way things are done. Each internal land has its own border patrol controlling what information is cleared for import. Some of us are more open than others and tolerate the exchange of new ideas. Some only import things already congruent with their own land. Some have emotional budgets for new research and others don't. Each land even has its own predominant climate: hot, cold, rainy, tropical, and so on. As with countries in the real world, the more open we are to diversity, new information, and technology, the more our land is enriched and expanded. The moment individuals engage in relationship, they engage, to some extent, in international politics, the meeting of different worlds with similar and different needs. We are going to travel to different lands today. Each of my friends visiting with me today have spent some time in visualization before we began the recording, and the others are going to move around one by one and travel in each land. As seasoned travelers, they will enter each land with openness and respect and curiosity. They will be visiting, and variety is fun. The expectation is for it to be different from their own land, and they will experience it with the meta skills of respect, inquiry and awareness, and deep democracy. And after they visit all of the four lands, they will build our land together. Before we begin our travels, let's meet the travelers. Bill, Danielle, Gus, Missy, please introduce yourselves.
Hi, I'm Bill Turner. I'm a native Southern California, born and raised in Los Angeles, currently living in Simi Valley. I work for a large national retailer in the corporate offices not far from here, and have a girlfriend that I love very much and a dog, and life is good.
Hi, I'm Danielle Decret. I grew up in Baltimore, Maryland, and currently live in New York City and have for the last 30 some years. I'm an actress and a playwright and a mom and a wife.
Hi, I'm Gus Matamal. I grew up in St. Louis, Missouri, currently live in San Francisco, California. I work in private tutoring, Have a wife and a dog that I love very much, excited to be here.
Hi, I'm Missy Lavender. I live in Chicago, Illinois, and have a digital health startup that I'm launching. I have currently three dogs, one of whom I love and two of whom I tolerate right now, that I'm fostering from my two fantastic young adult children.
Great. Thanks, guys. All right. So let's begin our travels. Bill, why don't you introduce everybody to your land?
Oh, boy, I have to go first, huh? Okay. Yeah. Well, in thinking about this and then in doing the visualization beforehand, I was really torn. And being, we spoke about the fact that I'm the one who's more conservative in this group. And so I thought, well, you know, I'm just going to go ahead with my first instinct, which was to say that since my two heroes, or two of my heroes, I guess I would say, would be Abraham Lincoln and Winston Churchill. Of course, Churchill has a famous quote about, democracy, or I would put it in the terms of a democratic representative republic, such as what we have here, is the worst form of government except for all the others. And Lincoln, of course, one of his famous quotes was that the United States was the last best hope of man. Therefore, what I am going to do, and just have a little bit of fun with it, I'm going to create, instead of the U.S. of A, I'm going to create the U.S. of B, the United States of Bill. And but what we're going to do is we're going to travel back in time a bit, and we are not going to have some of the original sins of the country, such as slavery. We're going to do away with that. We're not going to start out with slavery. We're going to find a way to incorporate the colonists, all of the people that came over in the early United States. We're going to find a way to incorporate our lives with the Native Americans. And we're, I guess, begrudgingly, I'm going to give you ladies the vote as well from the start. And so that is just the quick encapsulation of what my land will be. My land will be a better start to the United States, so that we don't have to be where we are now. Hopefully we will have gotten to this point a couple hundred years ago, and we're not discussing all of the sins of our forefathers and generations before us. So we can start off with as close to a clean slate as would be humanly possible.
It's a great start, Bill. I encourage you not to say what it will be. What is? This is your land. What kind of border patrol is there?
Well, in my land, the border patrol is going to have an ingenious device, which can, let's just call it a lie detector. And we are going to ferret out anyone who is untruthful about their background and their intentions upon coming into the country. And it's going to be as simple as that, I think.
Great. What kind of climate is it?
Well, we're going to have a very diverse climate because all of us, I think, enjoy, and Gus is now enjoying time on a warm beach. And yet, who hasn't enjoyed a brisk walk near a mountain stream? I mean, they're all wonderful. So I think, being from Southern California, it's often said we could spend the morning on the beach and the afternoon in the snow up in the mountains. So I think we've got to have all of those climates available to us.
You have all of it then. What about the pace of the energy in your land?
Again, it's going to be diverse. Since I'm basing this on the United States, and I think it's a pretty darn good place, we're going to have the energy. We're going to have New York City. We're also going to have, the peace of small towns with mountain streams flowing through them. So, because I think there is room for all of that. Who doesn't enjoy, and Danielle, you must enjoy it, the most of us, but who doesn't enjoy visiting New York City? And yet, who doesn't enjoy laying on a quiet, sun-filled beach? So, again, I think we have to have it all.
All right. So the culture, the music, the foods, activities, interests, it's all the diversity that exists in the United States today?
I think so, yes, absolutely. Right. I'm what a big believer in that.
All right, what's so uniquely different about your land that people would want to travel there to experience it?
It's everything that we have now with, well, I have to be real there, because human beings are human beings and there are still going to be problems. It's easy to say, well, my land will magically have no problems. There'll be no issues at all. But I think in starting at a different point, I think we're going to get the diversity and the wonderful things that we have in the United States without nearly as much rancor. So I think people will flock here in bigger numbers than they have even in the real, they'll flock to the US of B even in greater numbers than they do the US of A.
All right. So you mentioned there, you know, we're human beings, that there could be some things. What kinds of behavior would be rude or taboo in your land?
Well, I think that because in the hearts of man, evil can always spring forth, unfortunately. And whenever evil bears its teeth, I think that's the biggest problem that we have when I don't know where this quote comes from, but you know, you have the freedom to swing your fist anywhere you want up and until it reaches my nose. And I think just the very basic foundations of free speech and free expression and the right to protest, all of the things that we take somewhat take for granted, I think, those will all be present. But when someone invades your space, when someone harms you in any way, that's when the legal systems in the US of B will have to start taking over.
Okay. For those of you being tourists in US of B, do you have any questions of what it's like there, what you're experiencing there?
There's a lot I like about the US of B.
I like a lot
of what it's based on, or I should say what it's not based on. And the fact that you diverged from what our founding fathers started us on. I did have a question and now I forgot. What does your flag look like?
Oh, I think it's going to look very similar. Maybe it'll have my picture on it. I don't know.
I think it should. Yeah,
I hadn't thought of the flag actually, but. I picture a very similar flag, probably.
Anybody else have any questions what it's like to visit Bill US of B?
I was curious, Bill, about if everyone's welcome, do you have limitations on people being able to come?
Well, like I say, I think it's going to be the simple fact that I brought up, we're going to have those truth detectors. And if you lie about your reason for coming into the country or anything having to do with your background that we should know about, I think then you're not allowed in. But if you're truthful about your intentions and your history, and then, like I said before, welcome.
Anybody
else? What if everybody truly says, I want to move here and stay? Is there at some point a limitation to how many people, like, does your land have infinite borders?
Well, sure. Why not?
Sure. Just curious.
I see no problem with that at all.
All right. Well, thank you, Bill, for the introduction to US of B. Danielle, you want to go next?
Sure. I will try.
Tell us about your land.
Okay. So, you know, it's really interesting because I found that I'm just not as creative as I thought I was going to be. In that, I couldn't come up. I sort of wanted to come up with this total, you know, panacea utopian place. But what I ended up, my land is really where it's really almost my land where I am now, except another bump up. It's you know, I've chosen where I live. I live in my land that I love, except I just want it to be better. So my land is very urban. It's got a nice frenetic pace. But my land has no guns. My land has no fear. My land has a multitude of cultures. It has pockets of different kinds of people in different places that mix constantly. So you see different colors of people everywhere all the time. You hear different kinds of music from one block to the next. You smell different foods from one block to the next. And you hear people having wonderful discourse on the subway or however, whatever mode of transportation they're taking, whether it's bus or subway. You see, in my land, there are less cars driving around. In my land, one big thing that is different in my land is the lack of fear allows people, particularly women, the opportunity to engage with other people, particularly members of the opposite sex, in a way that they don't feel they are opening themselves up for sexual, not coming up with the right words. They're not leaving themselves open to be hit on, basically. You know, in my land, I will be able to look at a man and say, "Hey, I really like your hat," and not have to worry that within the next block, he's going to try to ask me out on a date. So that's actually a big thing that came up for him, which was kind of interesting. And my land, people are incredibly caring for their surroundings so that there is no garbage on the street and they're very mindful of each other so that there's not a whole, even though there's this frenetic pace, there's not a whole lot of people bumping into each other. There aren't people arguing with each other. It's really quite lovely, my land.
I can tell you like it there.
I do like it there.
Yeah.
Me too. I like it there.
What else? High up in the air, are there places you haven't visited yet?
Even though it's urban, it's very, you know, it's near water. It's got lovely beaches. It has wonderful mountains. It has great forests. What else do I have there? Wonderful fields.
Border patrol, how easy is it to come and go?
You know, it's interesting because initially in my land, there's no border control. Absolutely none, no border patrol at all. But then I thought it would be really nice to have somebody to say hi when you come by. And then of course I thought maybe there should be somebody there just to make sure that everybody's safe. But then I thought, we have no guns. We're good. I think we're good. There's no border patrol. People come and go as they please. We're all good.
What is so uniquely different that people travel to your land just to experience it?
Because it is the true, it is a true melting pot and you can get everything here. You can see everything here. You can taste everything here. You can experience the world in my land.
Does anybody have any questions about what it's like now that you sort of slipped in and visited with Danielle's land for a bit?
I think maybe I'm curious what would happen if, because I love the there's no litter, people care about their surroundings, but what would happen if I came into your land and perhaps even unintentionally I littered? Or maybe intentionally, I just,
you know, I.
Someone would talk to you, someone would come up and say, hi, you know, maybe you've not been here before, but we don't really litter here. So in the future, if you could pick up after yourself, that would be great.
How does that work with the frenetic pace? I'm just curious who...
Well, when I say, I should say frenetic pace, it's, you know, it's an energized society. So, but to me, it's a good energy. It's not people bouncing off of each other. It's people that are happy and excited to be going places that they're going. And, you know, it's that good day feeling. It's that, oh, I'm getting up and I'm heading off to work and... Isn't it awesome?
Does anybody else have any questions about what it's like to be in Danielle's land? Having visited there.
Sounds delightful.
Sounds delightful. Gus, anything?
Oh, you know what else I forgot to mention? And this is actually really important. And I had thought about this before. In my land, the most important thing is that people can talk politics without getting emotional. Like really converse and go back and forth without that, you know, without that heated, you know, I'm gonna choke you.
So there's no social media, is what you said.
Exactly, Bill. There's no Twitter. and that's kind of key. Yeah.
As someone who lived in New York for 4 years, I love your vision of.
I mean, it's not exactly like that.
Oh. It sounds like it wouldn't smell like New York either, which is lovely.
Oh, no. All right. Thank you, Danielle, for introducing us to your land.
You're welcome.
Gus, tell us about your land.
Sure. It's interesting. In evolution, there's the idea of convergence, about how separate species can converge to kind of similar attributes. My land, in many ways, converged on a bunch of the things that Bill talked about. So I'll try to go faster through that stuff.
Take your time.
One thing you asked about is climate, and like I have basically the same perspective as Bill, which is in a land I would envision there would be all the climates. So if you want to live in a cold place, you go and live in the cold part. If you want to live on the beach here, you go and live on the beach here. It's sort of whatever, you know, it would have all the options. And similar with, you know, there are cities for the people who want to live in cities. There's country for people who want to live in the country. There's suburbs for people who want to live in the suburbs. It has all the music. It has all of the, you know, I don't want to have to fly to another country to have a particular kind of cuisine. All the cuisines are there. So all those sorts of things are present in that land. The border question, I think, is actually interesting because my answer to what would the border look like depends a lot on what's on the other side of the border. So I have a friend whose sort of mission in life is to push for a world in which there are no borders. Like that's what he is spending his life trying to move us towards, a world with no borders. And when he and I were first talking about that, he said, what do you think about that? I said, well, I think in the long run, that's the way it ought to be. If you believe in the idea of a common humanity, I think in the long run, there shouldn't need to be borders. But in the world that we live in today, I don't think that works because there's too much disparity between things on opposite sides of borders. Like if today we just said, okay, the entire Southern Border Patrol, you just all go home, we're just not gonna bother policing the border anymore. 20% of Mexico within 6 months would probably uproot and move across the border because, you know, I wouldn't want to live life under like cartels shooting up the streets and stuff like that. I would definitely move immediately if I were living in that and I had the option to do so. And
just realistically, we can't suddenly absorb 20% of Mexico like overnight. I don't think that's on a practical level workable. So when you ask me, like, what do the borders look like? Who's patrolling the border? The answer is, well, I mean, if we envision that the other lands outside my land are more or less roughly comparable in things like wealth and climate and all that kind of stuff, then I don't think there needs to be much border, because there wouldn't be a ton of people itching to move back and forth across. If the other side of the border is, you know, tons and tons of people at a much lower standard of living, then there probably needs to be some kind of border system. If, you know, if I have access to Bill's technology with the infallible lie detector thing, that probably actually does work for me, but it would really depend on kind of what's on the other side of the border. The question about, you know, how do people talk about things like politics, sexuality, and all that, to me, that stuff is, you know, in the world that I'm talking about, is no more, it's like no more charged than asking somebody, like, where did you grow up? You know, expect a hugely emotional response or reaction when you say, I grew up in St. Louis, or I grew up in LA, or whatever. That's a fairly neutral thing to talk about. To me, there's no reason why things like politics or race or sexuality or any of that stuff should have any more of a response or reaction than where did you grow up? So that would sort of be the mentality around those things. And in terms of who's welcome and who's not welcome, I mean, really the only people that would not be welcome would be the people who would choose to exclude others if they had the opportunity to do so. That's the only sort of mentality we sort of don't really want, is people whose goal it is to exclude other people. But everybody else, you know, happy to have you. And I think the other question you pose is, like, what's sort of unique about the place that would make people want to visit it? I mean, so as somebody who's essentially devoted most of their professional life to education, it would be a place that's very, where education is very deeply rooted in the culture, and therefore would probably be a place where there'd be a lot of technology and stuff like that that's sort of happening. Science would be moving pretty fast there, so there would be a draw for that.
Wonderful.
That's all I got.
That's great. Does anybody have any questions visiting Gus's land?
Gus, you can be my vice president.
You're going to drag me into politics?
Oh, no. It's all good.
Hey, Gus. So explain a little bit more when you say that people talking about politics. So are you saying that there's just not a whole lot of discourse? Or are you saying that everybody is just on the same political bent, or?
No, it's more like what you were talking about, where it's like, okay, so you're okay. Party X and I'm party Y. Also, I grew up here and you grew up there. And I mean, there's just like no more of it takes the emotion out of it.
Right.
Is what I was talking about. I'm sure there'd be plenty of political parties, probably more than two.
There are more than two now. There are more than two now.
More than two, the realistic chance of accomplishing anything at any given point.
Any other questions about visiting Gus's land? All right. Missy, tell us about your land.
So my land is an island, which means that you approach it from the air or the water, and then you're screened by people that basically do very similar to what Bill was saying. So if there's ill intent, then you're put back on your plane or boat. And there are no vehicles. Everybody gets a jetpack when they land. And they fly in a battery-powered, energy-efficient way from point to point. Definitely a French-speaking place. So, and we have an amazing invention where all the chocolate has no calories and lots of nutrition.
Awesome.
We're all moving there.
Exactly. It's a consensus government, so everything has a council, a group dynamic to it. So disagreements are welcome, and worked out through a consensus agreement. There's obviously a lot of water, fresh and not so, and salt with centers, but nothing majorly skyscraper-ish. The borders are patrolled, but it's the basic all are welcome too, as long as you don't have that viewpoint we talked about before. Definitely no guns. No guns, period. Actually, no weapons either. So if you found with those, you're given your jetpack, turn your jetpack in, and you go home. The water's pure. People are really focused on the eco sense of the place because it's a zero carbon environment as much as possible. And there's the first thing we teach our children is about consensus and then health, mind, body, spirit health. So a lot of yoga and meditation happening in my land. And what else do I have in here? Yeah, music is whatever anybody wants to make of it. There are no additives allowed or genetically modified food. And everybody's very much outdoor. So we don't have an obesity problem. Therefore, we have a lot less of illness, education, and healthcare 100% covered. Very temperate climate. So there are seasons, but they're gentle. That's my land. It's much more tactile than necessarily cultural right now in my head.
I want to move to your land.
Feels a little bit like New Zealand in my head. But...
Sounds fantastic.
Mm-hmm. I just want some of your chocolate chip cookies.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, they're the best in the world.
What does the jetpack run on?
Battery. It's all rechargeable, battery, fuel efficient. Not, can't go too fast, but you fast enough to get where you need to go.
How about food? Is all the food grown on the island?
Grown or caught or cultivated? Yeah.
It's all How big is the island? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
We discussed my land of, potential infinite borders if necessary. Can the island grow and expand as people come in?
Mm-mm. No, it has to have its own self-regulating environment. So that means that sometimes people will choose to leave because, there's too many of those, but that's also done with consensus. And it's not like you're kicked off the island. You're just going to go visit US of B or the happy New York or... It's my land.
Any other questions? Visiting Missy's land. What's important here?
In my land?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, respect is that was my mantra. The it's the national motto. So respect yourself, respect others, respect the earth, respect the environment, the democratic process, which means you respect everyone. So that's my flag would be a big lavender respect flag. That's the national color too.
But if somebody committed a heinous crime, would you respect them, or would that be worthy of some disrespect or punishment? Or how does the justice system work in your land, I guess?
So anything that would be anti the life of someone else or even a resource, I mean, anything that's anti, the good of the people has to be considered a crime and dealt with. And again, a I see it like a consensus, you know, a panel of judges or whatever. And they probably have to work to restore whatever it is that they hurt, be it people or environment, or it's part of their sentence.
Would there be any sort of incarceration on your land?
You know, I could see some version of that, Danielle. I don't know what it would look like, but it would have to be an environment where there was, you know, almost like what we saw with the Native American Indian, you know, culture, where, you know, it's you know, you're violating the law of the world order, not just your community, if you do something egregious like that. And so, you know, maybe the ultimate is that you're not allowed to stay.
Yeah, that's what I'm struggling with in my land, because I don't like the idea of incarceration. But in my land, I'm thinking, you know, people aren't going to step outside of that world, right? They're not going to, they're going to be mindful and they're going to be respectful. So those things are not going to happen. Those horrible things are not going to happen in my land. But the what if, like Bill said, right? What if? You know, but I want to keep it in a utopia where this panacea where it's, these things aren't going to happen in my land. So there, so to me, there will be no incarceration.
Any other thoughts about Missy's land? Questions? Wonderful. All right. I'm going to ask all of you to feel as though you're stepping into a circle together, leaving your lands on the outside. Still within reach, still in sight. You're just moving into a new place. And leave your baggage behind in your land and arrive ready to experience something completely new. There is no right or wrong, it's just different. Now take the meta skill of collaboration. If you were to create a world, what combines the best of all the lands? What would be useful to import from all the lands you've heard about?
The chocolate.
Number one.
Number one.
I'm the only person in America, by the way, that doesn't like chocolate.
Are you really?
Yeah.
He's evil.
The zero-calorie chocolate doesn't do it. Although, by all means, have it.
Every other person you know.
What's your advice that you would need to have there, Gus?
I guess if we get it like zero-calorie pepperoni pizza, then.
Oh, there you go.
That works too.
I heard this idea of, I don't know what the word is, but you know, you, Danielle was saying utopia, but this it felt like a very respectful, we were, that is to borrow my word, but this idea that people don't have this vision of being me against you, like, just a level of whatever that is, positivity or, it's not gentility, but it's like the greater good is part of our culture, our mutual cultures. That's what I
would take that.
I think I'm curious, how do we, and maybe this is something we should have spoken about before we started, I don't know, but what I keep coming back to in my mind is, okay, we've created our lands, but do we have the power to change to change human, you know, just what it is to be human? In other words, we're going to disagree. We're going to have conflict. We're going, you know, that evil exists in the heart of man, to use a, you know, an old phrase. But can we change humanity in that sense in our world, or do we have to take humanity as it is and deal with it?
I think what I've heard from people is that people handle disagreements differently in their lands than they that exist in their current world. So in creating our land, what kind of ways would you want people to handle disagreements?
Okay, so I guess
what can you imagine?
What we're getting down to is we can't, in other words, the human condition we can't change. In other words, we're coming into this with humanity is what it is, and we have to deal with it in our land. And some right is that
if our land is inhabited by humans, then
right.
I would say yes.
Yeah. Okay.
But the way we create our humans, right? We could have a culture that starts out, from a different point of view. Like there were no slavery. There was no, we're going to grow the human to be more respectful from the ground up. Then yes, there's still going to be evil. Somebody mentioned evil, and there's still going to be things that can happen. But maybe what would it be like to not raise people to like you hate that? They're different than you, and I hate you because you're not like me. I don't know what they would show up like. We see a lot of cultures around the world that just don't have that in them as much. I think our land.
So what I'm hearing, Missy, in our land is that we would raise people to not have that kind of angry discourse.
Right. I think everybody was saying some version of that.
Mm-hmm.
Inclusion.
I do too. What else about our land? Positions, culture, expectations.
I think, when it comes to expectations, I think there has to be an expectation that everyone who's physically and mentally able needs to work to lend some sort of positive input to this land. In other words, we can't simply sit back and do nothing. We have to create something in this land. We can't just take. We have to give in some form.
Does that resonate with the rest of you? For our land? Hearing contribution.
Yeah.
What else from each other's lands would you like to bring in? Or from your land? The jetpacks? You like the jetpacks?
Yeah, I was thinking of the jetpacks too, definitely.
Super cool.
I'd change my life overnight if I had a jetpack.
How does everybody feel about zero guns?
I love zero guns.
Me too.
Let me jump in on the guns thing. So I personally don't like them, but I grew up around them, and I just sort of think about the world as it is. Some people really like them, and they are in fact responsible with them and all that. If I were to try to solve the gun issue, I would do something like say, you can regulate guns, but only at the level of municipalities. Like you can't do it at a higher level than that, so that people who want to live with them can live with them, and people who don't want to live with them can not live with them. And I think what would happen basically is rural areas would have them and cities wouldn't. And because guns, I think, don't really work in cities. But they work in rural areas where everybody knows everybody. Like, if my grandpa would sometimes, take a gun, go down to the general store or whatever, everybody knows him, right? Because it's a tiny town, so there's no worry that's he's there to shoot up the place. But you take a gun down to the Bob's Big Boy in the middle of Cincinnati or something, nobody knows you. Like, it's, you have to assume that you're there to shoot the place up. So, I think the guns, it's possible to live with guns, but they only sort of work in areas where everybody kind of knows everybody. And so I would basically say communities regulate that, but only at the level of of communities. And so if there are people who want to live with them, that's fine. They can live with them. And the people who don't want to live with them don't live with them. And that's that.
Perhaps in our land, a good guy with a non-fat chocolate chip cookie can beat a bad guy with a gun every time. I think that should be inherent in our land.
And I guess, I mean, I everything you're saying sounds great, but I'm just saying, like, if we're talking about our land, if we're talking about like starting from scratch, because obviously we have a gun issue in our country, period. But putting that, you know, sort of putting that aside, like if we're starting from scratch, because yeah, it's really hard. This is hard, like to say, okay, yeah, no guns. Like, and Missy said no weapons, which is, I didn't even say that, I just said no guns, but I'm curious now too, like, do we say no weapons in our land? Like, no weapons.
Yeah, I started with the no assault rifles, and then I went down in my brain, and I thought, so then I thought, to Gus's point, well, I know a lot of hunters, mm-hmm. and then I thought about it, and I thought, well, you can hunt with a bow and arrow, you can hunt with other things.
If that's bow and arrow is a weapon.
Well, that's right. And I would probably revise my no weapon a little bit, but it's the point of, like, if you wanted to go, like, I really like to go to the gun range and shoot a gun or shoot trap or skeet or whatever that is. I mean, go in, check the gun out, play with it, put it back in, like the library. But, you know, if you're not fearful, you don't need a weapon. If you're hunting, you can hunt with other things that, you know, aren't as detrimental to humans. So in my land, I would do it. I would go all the way there, but it's our culture that I think we're struggling with around this.
Right.
So it sounds like we still have an open question about weapons in our land. Mm-hmm. It's okay to sit with an open question. I don't think we need to resolve everything.
It's a big one, though.
It is a big one. Do you feel like you want to pursue it further? Come to a decision?
What were the guns before? I guess that's where I was going in my brain. Right. Why would you?
Hunting, I assume, or some people like just like target practice. I mean, mm-hmm. you know, my younger brother's a sniper trained ex-special forces Marine. He likes to take his gun down to places and just target shoot with it. And he also hunts with it.
The first time that somebody takes their jetpack and aims the exhaust in someone else's face because of a dispute or something, then that someone else whose face the exhaust was aimed at is going to want something that could keep someone from pointing their jetpack to, you know, I mean, it was sort of like my question about no weapons is that, well, anything can be a weapon. And so it gets a little bit dicey, if you see what I mean. I mean, I'm not dismissing the argument that guns just make it vastly easier to do incredible harm than you know, that our, right. our jetpack ideas or something. But, you know, whether it's a gun problem or a civilization problem or a, you know, something other, I just envision something, you know, then it becomes a jetpack problem or it becomes a butter knife problem or it becomes, you know, when the object isn't really the problem. And I think that's, in my mind, at least, that kind of the bottom line of it is that it's not the inanimate object that's the problem. It's the people and the society and what it is that we're doing and the way that we seem constantly to be at odds with each other over every single thing.
Right. Well, that's why I said before when I was talking about saying, you know, in my land, when saying there's no fear and people are more mindful and more respectful. So then when you have all of that, then you don't need the guns. You don't need, I mean, and you're right. I mean, anything can be a weapon. Your fists are weapons.
Right.
You can use your physicality as a weapon, so.
Right. No, I mean, I agree. And, but then we kind of get back to, well, okay, are we giving ourselves the ability to change human nature versus does our land have to take human nature as it is? So it's kind of the, the right. catch-22 situation right. Of all of this. But
to that point, then, what kind of values would be in our land? Because values really drive behavior.
Right.
I agree. And that's where I was coming through on this argument, is that if we are creating an environment where you know, it's the golden rule, so to speak, to begin with, I'm not going to point my jetpack at you because I wouldn't want it to be, you know, towards me. And there's no need to have a weapon because why would I do that to myself? So if it's, you know, the sanctity of everyone's life / space is just a given, and you know, we respect and appreciate everybody and their differences. I mean, it is la la utopia, but you know, there are cultures more like that in the world, and I feel like we don't have to be stuck with our American value system if we don't want to.
The flip side of that is that if we actually succeed in creating a society where everybody follows the golden rule, there's also nothing actually to fear from guns, because nobody would ever use them to actually harm another person, I guess is the point. So like right. people run around hunting with them because they like to do that, and you would never have to worry about somebody using it on another person, because that's, you know, why would you do that? Like that, the values of the society would not allow for that.
But they wouldn't have real bullets in either. They'd have like little toy bullets.
What else? What things would be different in our land from each of your individual lands?
I don't know if everybody would speak French in everybody else in our mutual land.
You had your parents' experience. You have that edge over all of us.
I'm okay with that. Because Gus is going to just tutor them.
Open to French, but hopefully others as well.
Right.
Well, that is an interesting point. What would be our language?
In our land.
In our land, yeah.
A new language?
Oh, a new language. I like that. We wouldn't have to speak, would we? Wouldn't we just like Vulcan mind fuse?
Like the babble fish from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Everybody just has a babble fish in their ear. So like you just speak whatever language you speak, but everybody can understand you no matter what.
Like, that's great. I like that, Gus. Babble fish it is.
Yeah.
What are you passionate about in our land?
Health is, and the health of everything, the environment, people.
That works for me.
I mean, I keep coming back to education.
What's difficult in our land?
Nothing.
No challenges, no pressures.
Nothing.
Perfection.
Yeah. What perfect thing do we want to do next? It's always hard.
What are the joys?
Coffee. Lots of coffee being grown there.
Coffee is grown there.
Unlimited caffeine consumption is also fine.
Also the only person in America that doesn't like coffee.
Like, oh my okay, goodness. Stop.
Coffee and chocolate.
Water. You can drink pure water.
Yep.
Wait, you live in San Francisco? How is that possible? Ghirardelli, famous. I mean, oh my goodness.
Yeah, it's a lonely existence. It doesn't like coffee or chocolate.
Maybe you drink wine, though.
I do. I do love wine. Yeah.
Okay.
You're allowed in our country.
Land? Is there wine in our land?
Unlimited.
Oh gosh. Yeah. Like,
I'm
growing some of the grapes. I can tell you that right now. And that,
all right.
Awesome.
What are the joys in our land? What brings people joy?
Wine.
chocolate, coffee, health.
You know, I think, to my mind, creating things. I think mankind, we have it in ourselves that we want to create things, whether they be physical or, you know, in perhaps in Gus's case, a better educational system, a better way to teach and pass down knowledge, but I think we all have, there's an innate human, to build things, to create.
Dance, more people would dance.
Yeah, arts, sing.
I'm feeling consensus around creativity.
Yeah.
I think this might be as good a time as any to, oh, but Gus, were you going to say something?
I was just going to say one thing, which would be you'd have to, much less of your time would be spent working in this
yes.
place.
Yeah.
The work-life balance would be very different in land.
Agreed.
What would that balance be?
I mean, work a little, on vacation for like 10 days, and probably around day 6, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm ready to do things again. Zero work doesn't work for me, but on a routine basis, I'm working like 80 hours a week, and that's like too much, right? So,
Or maybe work just wouldn't feel like work.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we're doing what we love. I like that idea.
Yeah.
Work is just contribution and creativity.
Yep. Mm-hmm. That you get paid very, very, very well for.
or you don't need anything. You don't need much.
Well, yes. How do we work out a currency in a system of whether it's currency or barter, or how do we do that?
Yep.
It's another
barter idea.
I think this might be as good a time as any to close this part of it. So this exercise is complete. You are yourself. You're in your own space, not in our land or your land, but you can always go back to your land, by the way. Your land is always available. You can return and do more exploration anytime you want. It's your own place to be. So take a couple breaths and tell me, what did you discover? What did this feel like? What are you taking away from this experience?
I want to live in New Zealand.
Come with me to New Zealand next year.
Exactly.
Well, what I appreciated is that we're four different people in four different spaces. And yet what I heard consistently were these things about, places where there wasn't as much acrimony, where people are welcome, where, we're really concerned about less violence and more positivity. And I thought that was great to hear that consistently.
Yeah, the appreciation of diversity and inclusion, I thought was good. Mm-hmm. And consistent across the board.
What else? What did it feel like?
I thought it was incredibly fun exercise. I really do wish that we could create an our land for real. I mean, the thought of really creating something like that. And to Bill's point, the thought of really recreating human nature, being able to do that. And like Missy said, I mean, I think as parents, it is what we strive to do, on a daily basis. I know I certainly tried to do it in raising my kids from the time they were very young, just so that they do behave differently than what we see go on now currently, within a lot of our current discourse that's going on. But it certainly would be lovely to just see a whole new our land.
We didn't talk about it at all, really, but I think that other than just the diversity and spirituality that other people in other cultures would bring to our various lands or our common land, but I do think that that's an important aspect of it. I believe in the divine, and I think that there's an important part of humanity that because we're all so flawed, that having that culture of there's something beyond us, and I'm not even talking religion per se, but just that there's something beyond us, there's something that someday we have to answer to, I think is a good thing to embed in a culture, that there is just that there's something beyond ourselves, and something that we, whether it's simply future generations or whether it's a divineness, I think it is something very important to embed in our children, in our culture.
Sounds like you're going back to our land.
I agree with you.
One more element in.
Yeah.
What are you taking away from the experience of what you went through today?
Sort of similar to last time, just that, you know, I think whether it's through social media or whatever, like the differences get amplified a lot more than the commonalities. And it turns out there's actually a lot of commonality to what people sort of want or what would make them at least reasonably happy.
I think that's a great point, because it was amazing how we all kind of said, well, you know, we'd like the frenetic pace of a New York City, but we'd also like to get away to the quiet of the laying on the beach, or, you know, whatever it was. There were so many things that are common to our world now that we wanted to bring to our make-believe world. And I thought, all I kept thinking was, you know, as much as we often complain and as many incredible problems as we have, we are incredibly lucky to be living where we're lucky, where we're living at this point in time. And it's a pretty amazing world that we have. And you know what, let's do our best to work on this.
Yeah, bottom line, if what I'm hearing from each of you is that there was a lot of common vision. And although we're living in a time and space where there is rancor, there is disagreement, there is a lot of, there are a lot of challenges that we face as a nation and as people living within this nation. I submit that the vision of our land and the vision of what can be has the possibility of shaping what the future holds. Because if we don't have the vision, then we don't have any hope of it. So I really appreciate all of you engaging in this today. And I would encourage you to carry that vision forward into your worlds and into your discourse. So thank you for joining us today at Peace On. We hope that it inspires you to be respectful and curious in your own community. Peace On is your source for inspiring conversations and information from thought leaders across the spectrum on topics related to the strategies of building peace, fostering nonviolence, and creating a world that thrives, shifting our understanding toward empathy, compassion, and connection. Peace On is brought to you by the Peace Alliance, found at peacealliance.org. Thanks, everybody.
Thank you.